Well, a happy new year to all my listeners. This is Tim Topham TV, and you're listening to episode number 25, the first of 2016. And I've got a great episode today. It's a little bit different as well. Quite a few years ago, I met a fabulous lady by the name of Gina Wake, who is marketing manager down at Hal Leonard in Australia. Hal Leonard being probably the biggest, one of the two biggest music publishers in Australia. And we have had a great friendship over the years. And it was recently I found out that Gina had decided to stop working at Hal Leonard and start her own catering business, which is very, very exciting for her. In the process, I thought, well, it would be fantastic to go down to Hal Leonard and actually see the place and meet Nathan Rippon, who is actually taking over the job. Because for those of you who have been to any events in Australia hosted by or involving Hal Leonard, most of you will have come across Gina at some stage. And so for piano teachers, particularly in Australia, Hal Leonard do support us with some fantastic PD, bringing out some great speakers from other countries and that sort of thing. So I thought it would be great to catch up and kind of have a bit of a farewell, I guess, with Gina and introduce Nathan and actually have a look around the offices of Hal Leonard itself, who are based down in Moorabbin in Victoria in Melbourne, Australia. So we had a nice conversation. You'll see at the start, you might want to actually watch this episode if you're listening, because I actually go on a tour of the premises and the distribution warehouse and all of that kind of stuff. But you will also be able to have a listen in on an interview that I did with both Gina and Nathan, talking about some of the plans that Hal Leonard have for the future. We talk about music publishing and where it's going in the future. We talk about digital publishing. We talk about the idea of studio licensing and all sorts of different things in there. So it's a great conversation. Stay tuned. Have a look. Watch it on YouTube if you're interested in the factory and headquarters tour. And then after that, into the interview. Hope you enjoy. This is episode 25, a behind-the-scenes look at Hal Leonard Australia. And as usual, if you would like to check out any of the links that we've got and show notes for this episode, they'll be at timtopham.com/episode25. And as always, it would be fantastic if you have the time to head over to iTunes and leave a review if you haven't done so already. If you've been listening to a few episodes last year and you're quite enjoying them or you're getting a lot out of them, it would mean a lot if in 2016 you could make it your little New Year's resolution in this first few weeks to leave me an iTunes review. It would be great. The instructions on how to do that, if you're unsure, are at timtopham.com/iTunes. Great friends of mine, Gina Wake here and Nathan Rippon, who are basically the most important people at Hal Leonard when it comes to piano teachers. So that's basically why I've come down here. It's taken me, I don't know, 2 hours it felt like in the car. But look, it's really exciting. I love being here. I've been here a couple of times and it's always great to obviously catch up with these guys. But I've got a few questions that I thought would be really useful for everyone listening. And it doesn't matter even if you're not in Australia and you're perhaps in America, hopefully the kind of questions that I'm asking and we're talking about will be just as relevant to you guys too. So firstly, Gina, so what's your position here? What has it been?
The official title is marketing coordinator, but I've been in charge of piano teachers and instrumental teachers for the last couple of years.
Fantastic. So Gina, we met at 4 or 5 years ago at a conference,
yeah.
I'd say. And I know that a lot of Australian watchers of the podcast will know Gina from conferences. Very, very famous. I've come down here actually because, in case you didn't know, Gina's actually leaving Hal Leonard, so we won't be seeing her anymore.
Yes.
And lovely Nathan here will be taking over. So what was it in your background that brought you to this position here?
Okay, well, I really loved music at school, so I decided I wanted to be a music teacher. And so I went to Melbourne Uni to study music teaching for a couple of years and then realised I didn't want to be a music teacher. Classroom music teacher. So I went to the College of the Arts and did a Bachelor of Music in Performance.
And what instrument was that?
It was classical tuba, Tim.
Oh, I love it. Oh, it's tuba.
And there's not a whole lot of options for classical tuba players in Australia. Or, no, not a whole lot of jobs. So you know, like all musicians, I had to sort of create my own work, and ended up at one point working at a music shop. And from there, I got to know the people at Hell. And then the opportunity came up to apply for a position here, and yeah.
So and the position was a different one, wasn't it, when
you started? It was a sales role, yeah. And part of my jobs before here had been as a music teacher in schools, in lots of different schools, an itinerant music teacher, and small groups as well. I had taught piano as well, you know, in my previous life,
yeah.
And I was a massage therapist and had all these little sort of bits and pieces. Yeah, so I started in a sales role, and then the education marketing person left, and I moved into education marketing.
That's significant. And that's how we know all the stuff that you do,
bringing
famous people over from other countries, the speaking conferences and things.
Yeah.
So to either of you, just in case people listening actually haven't heard of Hal Leonard or don't quite know what it does, what does Hal Leonard do? What are the main kind of...
So Hal Leonard is predominantly a print music publisher. They're a global company and they're represented in most countries around the world. I believe it's 47 different countries that they've got representation either as a Hal Leonard company. So we're solely owned by Hal Leonard Corporation in the US. And we then distribute their products to Australia. So there is offices in Europe, obviously Australia, there's offices in China, all throughout Asia, obviously in North America, and obviously they extend their distribution through Canada as well. So, Hal Leonard is predominantly a music book publisher. They have around over about 750,000 different books on the market, quite substantially. In Australia, we range around 250,000 different titles, and at any one time, we will stock... At the moment, we're sitting on just under 52,000 different titles in our warehouse at the moment. So different SKUs, different items as well. So,
and this is all instruments?
All instruments. So Hal Leonard,
and band and stuff too.
And band. So, you know, a lot of people tend to, you know, a lot of instrumental teachers think Hal Leonard's synonymous with concert band music, but then, you know, ask a choral composer and they're like, oh, I thought they only did choral.
Yeah.
And then ask a piano teacher, but Hal Leonard actually, you know, publishes music for every instrument.
Guitar music, ukulele, drums, bass.
They publish the world's biggest guitar method, which is the Hal Leonard guitar method. It's probably the biggest because it's published in 11 different languages, but it is quite big. The biggest band method, the biggest string ensemble method. They also distribute the world's biggest piano method, Faber Piano Adventures, and a lot. The unique thing about Hal Leonard Australia, because we are such a smaller market, shall we say, compared to the US and compared to anywhere, is the good thing about Hal Leonard Australia is we are Hal Leonard Publications, but then we also, you know, encompass so many more publishers as well. We also
distribute Boosey and Hawkes and Recordi and FJH, which do the Succeeding at the Piano series, the Willis catalogue. We're starting to distribute that from January.
Okay.
Salibert, GIA, the AMEB publications.
Yeah, so it might not be titled Hal Leonard,
but it's coming from us.
Master Your Theory. The Bright Yellow Book.
That all kids remember from their childhood.
Absolutely.
And is America the biggest? Is that like the global headquarters there? And you're kind of a subsidiary. What's the linking to all the different countries? How does that work?
Yeah. So up until just recently, our boss Philip Byrne owned part of Hal Leonard and Hal Leonard. Part of it, and more recently, Hal Leonard has now wholly owns
become its own
us.
Envy.
Well, Hal Leonard wholly owns us.
Okay,
and so we have, I guess, we have slightly different things going on here as well because we have a theatrical licensing and hire business that.
Right. So that's for musicals.
For musicals, yes. Yeah, so if your school wants to put on Annie or Guys and Dolls or whatever, you apply for the rights and hire the stuff from us. And we've also got a concert hire library. The Boosey and Hawkes
Grand Rites, Symphonic Rites. Works, Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto Number 2, generally works which are still in license, like Stravinsky or Rachmaninoff in some circumstances.
I'm the conductor in the MSO or whatever I could.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that kind of stuff.
Good. Yeah, because that's on my list of things.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Gina, you've been working in the role for a little while and have been so crucial to so many piano teachers. You've done a whole lot of different things. Can you just kind of recap some of the main things that you've done, specifically as it relates to piano teaching?
As it relates to piano, yep. Well, one of the biggest things was producing the Getting To series of books that with Elisa Mill. So
the Aussie people, I don't know if it's internationally distributed.
No, it's not.
No, okay. No. But the Aussie people would definitely know the Getting To series, and it's really
good. Yeah. So Elisa came up with an idea to, we were promoting the Helen Student Piano Library, and teachers would always ask, but how does this relate to my exam? Yeah. So how do I get to the exam? So Elisa created this Getting To series, and I produced those, and then we promoted them around the country. We did champagne launches in all over the place.
Yeah.
Did you have any of those? I missed the champagne launch. Yeah, it was great. Champagne at 10:30 in the morning, a whole gaggle of piano teachers. It was lots of fun. Absolutely.
What, there's a book? Oh, well.
That's right. That's right.
And I should say, too, for people listening in other countries, obviously not every country has an exam focus like we do, and I've done a lot of talk about it.
Yeah.
So it was actually mainly to help teachers prepare students at particular exam levels with non-exam repertoire, right?
Well, with exam repertoire and non-exam repertoire, and it was really because most people start their students off with a piano method, and then in Australia we have this exam focus, and the exams aren't supposed to be a method in themselves, or but a lot of people,
all the viewers will know, right, my views on this,
yeah.
My articles, yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so we sort of wanted to make that link, and it's been really successful. It's been fantastic. They're sort of one of the best-selling series. Definitely the best-selling series that we've published here.
Even
amongst all of the other books, we get 100 new publications each month from Hal Leonard and from our other other publications that we have to promote. But that the Getting To series is one that just keeps going and going.
Really? So the American headquarters or whatever, they just send you stuff each month and say, hey, is this going to work in your life? Sort of, and you go,
As you know, so we publish many publishers, but for example, Hal Leonard, they publish around 18 to 20 new titles every week. So we're talking about,
this is cross.
So it could be a new choral octavo, it could be a new piano book.
Is that every week or every day?
No, it was. They've actually tapered it. It was something around. At some stage, it was about coming around now. It's around 7 new publications every day that they're putting out there. And so then we obviously the benefit of being having Helen of Australia is we can we make those decisions, and we, liaise with piano teachers, we liaise with band directors, and we liaise with lots of people to, work out what's adequate in Australia.
Yeah.
We're not going to bring out, patriotic American favourites type of thing. So we make, buying decisions. Not that there's anything wrong with, Star Spangled Banner theme and variations in D flat minor. But, so it just makes we can tailor new releases for the Australian market.
Yeah, and so part of that has been developing the Australian Piano Teachers Music Hub on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's been a good way to get new repertoire out there, because people aren't going to their local music store as much these days on a regular weekly basis, but they are scrolling through Facebook.
So the Australian Piano Teachers Music Hub, we'll put a link to that on the show notes for people that aren't connected.
And from time to time we've offered samples of things if we get some samples that we think people would like, or little free gifts here and there. But also we've developed a little range of people who have been writing reviews for us and sort of testing different books, and they'll tell us, they're very honest, they'll tell us if they're rubbish, they'll tell us if they're great, and they'll tell us if they fit in with what they're doing with their students and what their students ask for. So yes, we're very grateful for all the help we've had.
It's a great community, really. Yeah. People sort of think, oh, Howland in Australia, or that's this big company. Well, no, it's just, sort of Gina and I. And,
there's actually no one else in there.
Well, no, there's 28 people who work at Howl, but, we're small because Australia is small, and, have that opportunity to, chat directly.
Which wouldn't happen if you've got 10,000 employees.
Yeah. And actually, yeah, when I started here 15 years ago, 15 years and 1 month ago, that I was employee number 7, I think, or there was 7 of us at that stage. So it has really grown and developed over the years, which is great.
I think I interrupted you in regard to
The getting to
so getting to Piano Teacher Music Hub and the community around that.
Yep.
Any kind of other big things?
Well, helping launch the 40-piece challenge, which you helped with
The 40-piece challenge.
40-piece challenge, yes.
Still up.
Yep, 40piecechallenge.com.au.
Cool, cool.
It's been great, and we get feedback all the time about how much teachers are loving it, and instrumental teachers have got on board. And
Other instruments?
We launched it for instrumental teachers a couple of years ago, and they really have seen the progress of their students. Obviously, because the more music they're playing, the
you better give everyone just like the 2-sentence overview of what the 40-piece challenge actually is, just in case I haven't heard.
Two sentences, Gina.
Sentences. Well, it's about challenging your students to learn 40 pieces each year. So again, traveling around the Australia and New Zealand with Elisa Mill for years and years, and Elisa would tell 15 years ago or 10 years ago. Elisa would say, you know, my students learn about around 30 to 40 pieces a year, and you would hear this in the crowd. Audible response from everyone. Because teachers really, back then, and this is how I learned piano as well, I learned my list A, list B, list C, an extra list, and that was pretty much it. Maybe a duet if I was lucky. And it just wasn't in part of our culture to learn a lot of repertoire. So Elisa had been talking about learning loads of repertoire, and obviously people like yourself and other people thought that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And with the advent of blogs and all of that sort of stuff, it's helped bring the idea sort of to the world, which is great. And so in this, I think it was the second magazine, I rang Elisa and I said, how about we like put the challenge out there? Just the challenge. It's not something you have to sign up for necessarily, or it's not something you have to pay for. It's just a fabulous idea that we just wanted everyone to know about. Yeah. And the response has just been amazing. Yeah.
And it got on the other side of the world too. So American teachers started asking about it.
Oh, absolutely. Irish teachers are blogging about it. I've had people from Scandinavian countries emailing saying, can I join the challenge? Sure, you can. Just all over the world. So it's been great.
Yeah.
And then of course the Piano Teacher magazine.
This is my baby.
So how that happened was that before I had my second child, I was taking care of all of the instrumental promotion. So for band and choral and everything, and came back from maternity leave, and Mr. Byrne said to me, now, you might not like this. And I said, oh, what? And he said, I just want you to focus on piano teachers. I was like, what do you mean I might not like that? That's great. But, I'm kind of pretty happy about anything, really. So he could have told me to focus on drums and I would have done that. But piano teachers, fantastic. So so he gave me a budget and he said, okay, go for it.
Just go for it. Do stuff.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
So that's when I started on Facebook, and I was sitting at home one day, and I was at my parents' house, and I picked up a catalogue for the Ballarat and Clarendon College, which is a school that I used to teach at. My little brother used to go there, and I was reading it. It was this beautifully done. It was this red cover. It was kind of a hard cover, and I thought, hang on, I don't teach at this school anymore, and it's sort of not related to me, but it's sitting there and it looks attractive and it's something that I do want to read. I think this is what I want for piano teachers, something that isn't a catalogue, has useful information for them, but isn't just a piece of junk mail that they'll throw out. So that's how it sort of developed. So it took me 18 months from that first idea to actually getting my first issue out.
Yeah.
And then everyone at Hal loved it, and they said, okay, let's have one every 6 months. I'm a little freak out, but we've sort of grown and grown. Yeah. And again, Elisa, was my consultant, especially in those early years, and coming up with ideas and fantastic. We've got a great sort of working relationship together, and she's really, helped steer me in the right direction until I felt more sort of confident.
Yeah.
And
now it's you know, internationally renowned. But it's not important because in Australia we haven't any type of magazine. I mean, there's quite the Companion International Piano, there's international piano magazines, but nothing Australian based. So,
yeah.
Except
for catalogues.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of glossy catalogues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's unique, you know, a really unique position with the, is the articles that are written by, you know, international, but, you know, a lot of local people, yourself,
yeah.
Lisa Milne, Carly McDonald, Tempe Shears, it's, that's what's unique,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's great.
And we're very different in Australia in that around the rest of the world, particularly in America, a lot of people go to college and study piano and study teaching and become piano teachers, whereas a lot of Australian teachers haven't gone down that path, and that's okay. There's some, you know, fabulous teachers, or there's lots of fabulous teachers that haven't gone down that path, but it's not the things in Clavier Companion and, you know, other magazines aren't necessarily speaking to them, whereas, you know, most teachers start teaching beginners.
Mm.
So we wanted to talk to teachers that are starting to teach beginners and share with them all the good ideas and, you know, because piano teaching has changed so much since we were kids, since we were learning.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so, yes, it's been great.
Yeah.
It's been good fun.
Fantastic. And thank you for all, thank you on behalf of everyone that's read this magazine. Like, it's been so good. We always look forward to getting it. And I've seen the comments that come up on the Facebook Hub.
Yeah.
People are so excited to get there.
Yeah, which is great. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's really well done. Yeah, as you should be.
Mm. Oh, could I make a bit of an announcement about it?
I'm sure.
Yeah, so, well.
Okay. Is this, you're hearing it first.
Hearing it first, yeah. So I'm leaving today, and Nathan is going to be the production editor of the Piano Teacher magazine, and we're actually going to have Carly McDonald be the creative editor of the Piano Teacher magazine. So we're looking forward to.
Really excited about that.
Yeah. Nathan's looking forward to working with Carly and developing
who's
it further.
On the ground, who really knows the content, who's really in touch with, you know, Australian teachers, and she's really great.
Yeah.
So,
and we'll put a link to Carly, was on my podcast talking about business, studio business. So, we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, so people can remember who Carly was. Yeah. I mean, you can't really forget because she's so awesome. that's fantastic. So you'll do more of the overseeing and the editorial stuff, and she'll actually pick the contents or sort of help decide.
So, we're really the future of the Piano Teacher magazine. We're still going to do a magazine twice per year, but we're really excited that in the beginning of the new year, we're going to the Piano Teacher website, thepianoteacher.com.au, is going to totally be rebuilt and redone. It's in the process now. The issue with the magazine we found is that teachers loved it, loved getting this content, but, you know, it wasn't, they wanted more. They wanted, you know, more frequently. They wanted something that they can, you know, be accessing all the time. So we're going to be posting a lot more content on the Piano Teacher blog. We're going to be, obviously, you know, new releases, products, and we're really excited with that. Yes.
Yeah, and in addition to the two magazines, Nathan's also planning.
Oh, the desk copy. So something else that we're working on as well is a lot of teachers are obviously coming back to us, and because obviously having a pretty glossy catalogue, seeing reviews of books, that only gets them so far. They want to actually get to touch the book and see the book, but, you know, investing in, you know, obviously their libraries, like I'm sure yours is, as is mine, is, you know, fills this room.
Yeah.
We will have a new VIP program for piano teachers in the new year, and it will be what we call a desk copy VIP teacher program.
Desk copy.
Yeah.
Desk copy.
They do it a lot in
the US.
In the US,
yeah.
Helen have a VIP program where they can buy a copy of a new publication for a big discount.
Right.
Because they get to, you know, actually touch it, feel it, experience it. So that's what we're.
Yeah, so we'll follow that, by the way. Teachers have the opportunity to buy a desk copy. So a single new publication at a heavy discount.
Okay.
So they can actually then see it and see if it really works for them. So where they can go to our website
just,
and do that. And it's a very very big formula that they do in the US. All publishers really do that, give you opportunities. So teachers can actually get to see the books.
Right.
And they get the opportunity to go online.
Yeah.
And they can actually buy these new publications at a heavy discount.
Yeah. So do they buy them, excuse my not having any idea about this, but they buy them first at the discount and you send them to them?
Yes.
And then they can return them if they don't like them?
No. So they do, yeah. So it is firm sale,
okay,
but it is very quite cheap.
So the massive discount is the thing that you're offering.
But it does give them the opportunity to, you know, get to actually see the book.
We have done this in the past with the Hal Leonard Student Piano Library,
right.
and they could, but it's been quite a while since
2008
like
was the last
price
time, and it was massive.
Copies,
you know, teachers, you know, loved that.
But again, it was a bit clunky because they went to the stores, and then there was all sorts of to-ing and fro-ing.
Okay.
So this will be direct from us through the site, and then they can just go to the regular store. So that if they, you know, get a new publication they want, all their, you know, grade twos to have that, then they just go to the regular music shop and purchase.
Okay.
Yeah.
But their own copy will be a significant discount. So are you building a mailing list of people whom you offer that to? Like, is there something where my readers should go online now and...
Yes, so if they want to go now and sign up to get a few things from us, if they don't get the Piano Teacher magazine right now, they can simply go to thepianoteacher.com.au and sign up there, and that will guarantee them that they get, you know, the Piano Teacher moving forward, and they'll also get these promotions as well.
Okay.
So this is planned to be an actual catalogue they'll get in the post, and that will happen twice a year, most likely. March, April, August, September.
Okay.
Sort of at the end, yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's quite exciting.
There we go.
Very cool.
Well, Nathan, you better, seeing as you're taking over this very important role, you better tell us just a little bit, just a bit about your background, I guess, particularly as it relates to the music.
Cool. I'll be quick. So I've worked for Hal Leonard for nearly 9 years now. So I started similarly to Gina. In a sales position. So I finished uni, so I did a Bachelor of Music and Honours and majored in saxophone.
Okay.
I actually started a double major in piano and saxophone, and then halfway through my B-bus I thought, less is more,
yeah.
So I quit the piano.
Nathan's a fantastic piano player.
I quit the piano and I continued on saxophone, so... I was brought up in a very musical family. I grew up in Newcastle, and my sister's a professional French horn player in Germany.
And you taught for years as well.
Yeah, so I finished school, went to a great school in Newcastle, a performing arts school, Hunter School of Performing Arts in Newcastle, and, you know, just music was just in your blood. It's so much in your blood when someone asks you, wow, how did you... It's just hard, you know, as a 30-year-old now, you know, you sort of look back and go, wow, I'm really grateful for that upbringing.
Yeah.
So, because that was just so natural to me, I naturally just, you know, went and I loved music.
Yeah.
And so I did a double major in performance at Newcastle, and then did a postgraduate diploma performance at University of Sydney Conservatorium. And whilst I was doing that, I was... teaching a lot. I was teaching piano and teaching saxophone. I was also tutoring in harmony and theory at the University of Newcastle at that stage. Then my other half gets a job in Melbourne, and then I'm like, all right, I come down here, be interviewed for Hal Leonard, and I got the job in sales. So I've worked
very similar stories in regards to Hal anyway.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, you know, there are lots of people who study music, and there's lots of people who learn music when they're youngsters and things like that. And there are actually sort of music-related jobs, like in music shops and in, you know, various teaching positions. And, that's good.
Mm.
Yeah, so my role, obviously, you know, the sales and marketing really do cross, and so I've been doing a lot of marketing over the years. I've been the chief as account manager at Hal Leonard, been the chief contact with all the retailers. So
Nathan knows all the stores in Australia.
I have been over the last few years the chief contact with all the music stores around the country.
Yeah.
for that as well. And then slowly that's been transitioning to, you know, more of a marketing focus and ultimately all the piano teaching.
Yeah.
Teacher.
So you're in safe hands, everyone. It's going
to
be okay.
And you're going to be likely to continue on some of those, running the workshops and bringing in presenters over to conferences and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so the paramount thing, the great thing about having Howlended Australia is the fact, you know, we're here and we, you know, we know the market and we will continue to run all these conferences. In January, we'll be running 5 different piano teacher workshops, one in Melbourne, one in Sydney with the Music Teachers Association. We'll be co-doing one in Adelaide.
Supporting.
And we'll be doing one in Brisbane as well. And so, yeah, 2 in Melbourne. So
you've got links to all these online somewhere?
Yes.
I know they're in the magazine.
Yeah.
But we'll put a link to those. Yeah, I'm obviously, everyone knows I'm very pro going to workshops and conferences, so make sure you get along to one of those if you're an Aussie.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a few of the sort of things, plans you've got. Have you got, is there anything else in the pipeline or ideas you've got?
Yep, so... another idea.
Sorry.
So with the magazine, we'll be doing the magazine. The website, the Piano Teacher website, is going to be the biggest focus for us. Obviously trying to create more teaching content for people. Additional features on the website is we want to eventually build a teacher database. So when people, you know, Google piano teacher, obviously a website with URL, thepianoteacher.com.au, there are going to be a lot of, you know, with search engine optimization, there's going to be a lot of people going there, mums and dads, looking for piano teachers. So in another phase of this website, we do want to develop a piano teacher directory.
Searchable directory.
And another exciting thing is that Angela Turner has been working on a new repertoire series with us.
I read it in your magazine, did I? She's gone through thousands of pieces. This is Angela Turner from University in Brisbane.
And she's written, she's presented at a lot of conferences just recently and has written in the magazine for us as well and has played through, 1,300. I hope she's taking some shots of her piles of books.
We're
1,300 different publications. We saw them the other day. That was just everywhere. And, she's putting together some great collections with some ensemble pieces as well.
So new collection, books new collections, of collections
yeah.
so right be, here in Australia.
In Australia for the Australian piano teachers, so they'll be released at the Allen Lane Memorial Weekend in Brisbane in July. So everyone should get along to them.
We've committed now.
Yeah. Angela, they'll be released.
I'll be there as well.
Oh, great. Yeah. Tim and Samantha Coates is going to be there, I think, and Danny McFarlane. Who else is on that bill?
Tembies.
So that'll be
all the good ones to hear. So I'll make sure we put some links to that in as well. Very cool.
Cool.
So, you know, onwards and upwards, you know, that's a great thing with, you know, printed is with, you know, music publishing in general is that, you know, there has been turmoil in the music publishing industry and there is, you know, lots of questions about, you know, the changeover from, you know, physical to digital and a lot of people don't really know what's going. But, you know, we're actually seeing a really flat line with, you know, music book sales across the world.
I think the thing is, you know, with a piano book, you want to write your notes in there and it's harder to do on the technology as it exists at the moment. And there's just something great about being able to delve into a book. You don't just have to get a book for that one piece. You can learn all the pieces.
The good thing about Howlended globally is they're so aware of, you know, the demand for digital content. It's not just something they can't ignore, and that's great working with such a, you know, innovative company like Howlended is, whilst they appreciate, you know, they still put all their resources into physical material, is that all their content moving forward will be available digitally and they will have, you know, avenues and they're way ahead in the investment into that technology, and that's great. Because at the end of the day, digital print is very much on a popular focus, and ultimately, even if that was great for us, that still is a very, 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 very small part of our market. We're talking about less than 5% in the pop side. And so, it's really exciting to sort of see, you know, you know, there still is, you know, demand, and it's great that there's representation in Australia, you know, the importance of having a Howl Leonard Australia to, you know, to yell out for Australian piano teachers. So it's really good.
Yeah. I'm guessing that the amount of digital is small, though, because you haven't got that much online. Like, I can't go and download Piano Adventures, for example. And so I'm really interested to bring up this topic because I'm quite passionate about digital products and print and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, can you ever foresee a day where it sounds like more of this stuff is going to go online? You've got music notes where you can just type in one thing in basically two clips. You've got it. You've downloaded. You can use it. You can do it in a lesson, like, and not waste no time at all.
Yeah.
Is Howl Leonard likely to go down that kind of path?
Yeah. So for example, Howl Leonard does, as the world's biggest music publisher, they actually do own, you know, the underlying copyright of stuff. So they do sub-license already to Music Notes and to NovaScore and to all these, you know, up-and-coming, you know, digital platforms. Particularly in Australia, the answer is yes. Mm. We are in the next, you know, 1 to 2 years, we do have plans on, you know, being able to deliver digital content.
And we've just done a massive, very expensive upgrade of our system. So that's
in the seven-figure amount. Yeah. And that's investment into Australian, you know, to be able to deliver better content to teachers, able to deliver teacher desk copies like that so they can review, so they can access digital content. But still, you know, having a balance that's there for teachers who do want to buy a digital copy of Favourite Piano Adventures. That's probably a bigger question.
Again, it's just I don't know physically how the technology will work in terms of, you know, I mean, I know every kid kind of has an iPad and stuff, but it's just, I don't know, there's something nice and tactile about an actual book, and you can write, you know, and you can.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Having a book is ideal. But it's obviously not as convenient, particularly, I guess in some ways it comes down to planning for piano teachers, making sure you know what you need and you can order the books in time and that sort of thing. But, I mean, there's a lot to be said for the ability to just quickly grab something.
Yeah. Mm. And look, for popular stuff.
Particularly for popular, because it's got to stay so current.
Current.
What's really fascinating looking at, just quickly, about numbers on how the transfer, we're talking about books in general, the transfer from physical books to digital. And the bottom line figure globally is around, they've seen a shift, and this is an average amount, a shift of somewhere between 15 and 20% globally.
From print to digital.
So the dwindle in physical book sales, so I'm talking about, you know, any book, is seeing that shift. In Australia, it's much bigger. You're probably seeing around 40%. But when you actually look at those numbers and looking at the statistics, the more specialised the content of that book, we're actually seeing, for example, books on golfing and books on, you know, car maintenance and those types of things, the shift is actually quite small. We're only seeing a 1% to 2%. So you could argue that, you know, the consumers of these products are, you know, generally of an older generation who doesn't want digital, but we're seeing it's across the board. So that's probably why we're seeing globally that the sales of printed music is actually very, very flat.
This is their
global statistics, and not they're actually given to us by the company like Amazon. That actually, you know, really invested into that industry. Yeah. So
I know one of the issues for Australians is that, you know, it seems like the books are more expensive.
I was going to ask about that too.
For example, in America, Howl Leonard is the publisher and they sell to the music shop, and then the music shop sells to you as a customer. But for us, it's Howl Leonard in America sells it to us, Howl Leonard in Australia. So we're just another link in the chain. Another middleman, you know, more mouths to feed here. And then we sell it to the music shops and the music shops sell it to you. So if we weren't here, then you would find there would be no books, you know, you wouldn't be able to get your lessons books and all of that sort of stuff. So I think we're a pretty important part of the chain. But also the Australian standard of living is fantastic. So we're not, you know, piano teachers get paid, you know,
pretty well.
Yeah. Whereas other parts of the world, there's people getting paid not so well. So that's sort of got to be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
And also we're just so far away from everywhere. So we have to import all the books and transport costs and all of that sort of stuff.
Sure.
So it's a whole sort of conglomerate of things. That
Yeah, it is a bit tough, but ultimately they are the reasons. You know, if we did half the price of books, yes, we would find it tougher because, you know, we have to, you know, be paying lots of money. GST is one big thing and freight. But, you know, it is the local music stores, who are, you know, sponsoring your primary schools at FAPES, and the local music stores who are employing your children, and the local music stores who are employing your students, who, if we decided to half them, they probably would stop, you know, doing music books.
And it would be such a shame if music stores went the way of bookstores, because you're really hard pushed to find a bookstore anywhere in Australia these days, and it'd be just such a shame if the music stores went that way too. Because imagine buying your instruments and you'd be buying them from overseas and you wouldn't get to experience them, and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So buy from Australia, peeps. Support your locals.
I guess it's the beauty thing to see too is, even for a print book, you go on Cheap Music Plus or something like that, and the cost looks really cheap, but you go to your checkout for Australians and you add the postage and suddenly it's like, oh, this is like $40, $50 of postage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they start to...
So, yeah, you see the transparent price with the conversion of the dollar looks very transparent, but as an impact of the strengthening US dollar, is that's also impacting on the transfer of freight, you know. And so you were paying, you know, $15 freight, oh, that's great, but then that conversion is now $30 and then it could get up to $50. So
it's actually interesting. I remember the dollar was 53 when I started.
Yeah.
But also petrol was 66 cents a litre when I started 15 years ago.
Now, $1.50 or something? $1.50,
it can be. And then, you know, it moved up to parity a couple of years ago, last year? And now we're back down to, what is it, around 70? So, I mean, you know, it's all got to be taken into account. Swings and roundabouts.
Last question. When it comes to digital publishing, there's a move, certainly for independent publishers, to do what they call studio licensing. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that concept?
Yeah.
So pretty much, if you haven't heard about it, you download one copy, you pay a bit more for it, but you can use it in your studio for all your students for life, pretty much. I would imagine the big publishers would go, not even going to think about it.
They wouldn't. But, the schools have the APRA and COS licensing thing, and that's only in Australia and one other country, I think. They don't have that in America. So,
Or anywhere else.
I don't know.
Do you just mention what that means, what that license means?
So the school's photocopying license, and I talk on a blanket level.
Americans will be shocked and horrified to learn about this.
So the school's photocopying license will allow, you know, schools to photocopy X amount of copies as per their license. Now, I speak vaguely because it does vary.
Yeah.
For example, public schools will have a blanket license, but then, you know, different private schools,
own one copy and have the license to
print. So they can buy one copy and then they can, you know, make X amount of copies. I'm being vague because it varies.
Sure.
There is a standard formula.
Yeah.
But the problem with that concept is that people go, oh, you can photocopy music, and they just blanket photocopy and people don't buy anything. And then you find that people, like the local people, I know I've spoken to a lot of local composers and they've heard a lot of their music played in a lot of different places and their royalty checks aren't reflecting that. So, yeah. It affects the composers and
I'm certainly not advocating the free for all photocopying, but this concept of the actual composer saying, you know what, I'm going to charge you more, but I understand this is kind of a reality. People are going to use it for more than my students. So instead of beating you or getting frustrated myself, I'm just going to give you permission to do that.
Yeah, and look, I think I think it's a really great way
for the
independent publishers. Yeah, it's a great way to get the music out there.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think that was all my questions. So can I just thank you most publicly, sincerely, and I'm going to give you a big hug. Oh. Yeah, we've had a great relationship over so many years.
Yes.
And if you're in the Flemington area, I'm going to spruik you on what you're doing next.
Well, I'm opening a little catering company called Gina's Kitchen. Just me at the moment.
So this is in western side of Melbourne?
Yep, in Flemington, and I'm going to run a real food canteen at my daughter's local school and then do catering for anyone who wants it.
What's the web address?
GinasKitchen.com.au.
GinasKitchen.com.au, there you go. I shall be here for my catering. Yes. And Nathan, thank you in advance for what you're going
to
do.
Thank you for coming and speaking to us.
Thanks for coming.
It's great to catch up with you both.
Yes.
And I look forward to seeing you at events and conferences and whatnot.
I'll be at any. Please call me. Anyone, call me. Speak to me.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, do you want to? Are you happy to share? If people have questions, can they email you?
Well, they can email me.
Check the website.
They can email me direct. Or they can just email info@hallennard.com.au.
Well, the piano teachers email australianpiano@hallennard.com.au.
australianpiano@hallennard.com.au.
Yeah.
Or on Facebook.
Or Facebook via the hub, and we'll put the link on there. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for coming.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.